안녕하세요. 한국어를 4년 동안 공부하는 히다야라고 해요. 저 같은 많은 외국인들에게 한국어를 더 쉽고 심플하고 즐겁게 배우는 방법을 알려주고 싶어서 이 팟캐스트를 시작했어요. Hello, 안녕하세요, and welcome to the Super Simple Korean Podcast, the podcast where I simplify complicated Korean concepts and explain them as quickly as possible. I am your host, tea lover, and Korean enthusiast, Hidaya, and I have been self-studying Korean for 4 years now. So, I made this podcast to compile everything that I've learned and share it with you, as well as anything new that I learn along the way. If you want to find the show notes for every single episode that is ever aired on this podcast, then please go to lingolobby.com/super simple Korean. That is lingolobby.com/super simple Korean. See you there. All right, so this episode is all about Hangul, the Korean writing system, arguably the easiest writing system in the world, and trust me, you will understand why it's that way once you learn it. In this episode, I am actually going to be talking about what it is, how it came to be, why it's important to learn it, and how to learn it quickly and effectively. So if you're excited for that, then please keep listening. All right, so firstly, I'm going to introduce Hangul properly and formally. So Hangul is the Korean writing alphabet. We all know that. At least I hope we know that. If you didn't know that, now you do. And it is arguably the easiest alphabet in the world to learn. It can be learned in 90 minutes. And some people try to learn it in 30 minutes, but 90 minutes is usually what would you call it? The standard? I have no idea what to call it. But most people say they can learn it in 90 minutes or less. And while the less part is kind of pushing it, I say it is 100% possible to learn Hangul in 90 minutes. That is an hour and a half of your life to learn an alphabet. Amazing. And it was invented by the wonderful King Sejong during the Joseon Dynasty. In 1446, it was originally called Hunminjeongeum. Hunminjeongeum. I forgot what that means, like the translation for that, but it was originally written top to bottom, like Chinese. Now, the reason it was made, the reason why Sejong felt like he needed to make this, was because at that time, Koreans wrote with Chinese characters, and this was a problem because of two things. First of all, Chinese, they were borrowing another writing system. So there were a lot of things that were not unique to the Korean language that they could not express through these Chinese characters. And the second problem was that commoners and people who were less royal, I have no idea how to explain it, but less, basically people who are lower down on the hierarchy, they could not have access to that type of education, so they could not read, they could not write, and they could not express themselves the same way that higher up and more educated people could do, like the royal families. So Sejong, being a philosopher and a scholar, basically he kind of sympathized with them, and he decided to make this alphabet system that is super simple and easy to read, to write, and to use to express yourself. It consists of literally 28 letters. Like, that is only two more letters than English. Like, it's not that hard, trust me. If someone ever comes to you and says, "Oh yeah, I want to learn Korean, but I don't want to learn the Korean alphabet because that stuff looks way too hard." Trust me, it's not that hard. It's nothing like Chinese. It's very symmetrical, very logical, very aesthetic even. It is a really, really, really simple and easy to read and to learn alphabet. When I was learning it, I do admit that I took actually like a week to learn it, But that's because I'm a thorough, meticulous brat who likes to be perfect, quote unquote perfect, in everything that I learn. So basically, I treated it more as like, you know, the English alphabet or the Arabic alphabet, because I learned the Arabic alphabet way before that. And it consisted of drill after drill after drill after drill. So I took a whole week to go through alphabet drills. And then finally, I decided, you know what? I'm sick of this. I'm going to learn Korean. So that's how it worked. But it is perfectly, perfectly possible to learn it in 90 minutes. Or if you're a little bit slower and you like to be meticulous like me, then you can learn it in a day. And if you're extremely meticulous like me, then learn it in a week. Now that you know what Hangul is, and how it came to be, like a very rundown, watered down story of how it came to be, now let's get into why it's important. Now, no one has ever asked me this in like face to face, most probably because they know me as a person who's going to be like, look, why are you asking a question that you already know the answer to? Like, don't waste my time with that. But I have noticed this trend of people trying to learn Korean without learning the alphabet. I don't know why they think that this is logical, or even like, does it, like, it doesn't make sense. It's no sense is made in this type of activity. Why the heck would you try to learn a language without learning the alphabet? Like, in order to learn a language to a really great, amazing extent, you have to read and write in it. Plus, Korean is not like, it's not like you can, God, anyways, basically, there is a trend of people who try to learn Korean without learning Hangul, because they see Hangul and they think, oh my God, it's just like Chinese, it's so hard, I am not learning that. But I have a question for you, honestly. If you're that type of person, I'm not saying you are, but if you are that type of person, think about it like this. If you can't put 90 minutes of your life into learning an alphabet to learn the language that you want to be fluent in, then you're not going to learn the language. Why? Because you can't even complete the small task of learning the alphabet. It's the alphabet. You learn it once and it's done. You learn it once and you use it and you read in it and you write in it and you communicate through it. Like, it is not that hard. The very first thing that, you know, anyone, the very first thing that I personally think of whenever it comes to learning a language, I always think, okay, I need to learn the alphabet, because like, it makes sense. It does not make sense to learn a language without the alphabet. Now, of course, before I go way too deep in this rant, I'm going to give you a few reasons, like logical reasons, why you should learn Hangul and not skip it. First of all, romanization is like the absolute worst way to express yourself in Korean. Nothing makes sense to Koreans. Nothing. Like, maybe on a small level, some Koreans can understand romanization. Maybe because maybe they're teachers or they interact with a lot of foreigners, and so they've kind of understood like how things are romanized. But most Koreans do not understand romanization. In fact, a great example is once I had joined a live for an Instagram live for a group. They were a K-pop cover group. They were a Korean K-pop cover group. And there was this girl who was trying to communicate with them through romanization. And these people tried their best. They really did try their best. I praise them. They tried their best to understand what she was saying. But at the end, they were just like, you know, I'm really sorry, man. Like, I can't understand you. Like, I don't know what you're trying to say to me. I apologize, you know. And after that live ended, she came to me. Actually, she had DM'd me. I'm not sure how this worked. I'm pretty sure maybe like I was just like, hey, you know, like if you need some help, I can help you or something like that. Or I was just like, I don't know. I have no idea. But either way, she came and she DM'd me and she was like, okay, I keep knocking this desk and I apologize if that is like making a sound. But anyways, she came to me in my DMs and was just like, you know, like I feel kind of frustrated that I could not communicate with him because like I have been studying Korean for so long. Like, what's going on? And I didn't have the heart at the time to just be like, hey, yo, look, it's because you need to learn the alphabet, my G. Like, they're not going to understand you by reading English letters. Like, they don't speak English amazingly well, but I'm pretty sure they would probably understand you better if you spoke English. Like, if you're going to speak Korean, speak Korean. If you're going to speak English, speak English. Do not try to choose between them. Do not try to mesh them together. That never works well. Even me, being a completely full 100% American who grew up speaking English, cannot understand Romanization 99% of the time. It's very hard to understand. And most Koreans will not understand you. It really pays off just to make the extra effort, just to take out an hour and a half of your day to study the alphabet. Like, if you study the alphabet, you're already like 20 steps ahead of most people learning Korean. And therefore, you have a higher chance of success in Korean than most people, because you actually put in that effort to learn the foundation of Korean. That is another thing. The Korean alphabet, although the Korean language, the spoken language, came before the alphabet, learning the alphabet is the equivalent to learning the foundation of Korean, because you need to know the alphabet to know grammar, to learn how to use grammar. You need to know the alphabet to differentiate between concepts, because, oh my God, there are so many words and like grammar particles and things like that in Korean that sound so similar when they are spoken that sometimes you just gotta be like, all right, look, listen, can you spell that out for me? Because, like, I have no idea what you're trying to say right now. And it works. If you're, and even especially if you're texting someone, please do not use romanization. It is very cringy. And oh my God, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts me. And I'm pretty sure it hurts them even more, considering they're Korean. And it's like you're botching their language up. Learn Hangul. It's so simple. It's super simple. Now, I actually have a note over here of like other things that I was supposed to say, but basically, again, about romanization. Romanization is not reliable, okay? Like, it's not reliable. That's also another huge problem about it, is because there is no 100% standard way to romanize things. So people romanize it based on what they hear. And this is a problem because there are a lot of weird pronunciation habits that Koreans have. I call it lazy pronunciation, but there are a lot of weird habits that Koreans have when they speak. And so when they speak, it sounds very different from when you're reading. Like, if you're reading something, you know exactly what you're reading, right? If it's in Korean. But when they're speaking, sometimes the pronunciation is different. It's botched. It's lazy. It's kind of like rushed, it's slurred, it's, you know, there's a bunch of different ways that it's spoken, and it can really, really confuse someone when they try to spell it in Korean letters. And probably one of the best examples is 네, the word for yes. 네 and 뭐, the word for yes and what. 네 often sounds like 네, 네. That sounds like a D sound, right? 네, but it's actually 네. But the problem is, a lot of Koreans, the reason why it sounds like 네 is because the tongue is kind of like lazy. Like, every time I say it, I think of it as like the tongue is lazy, and it's like kind of like coming from your nose. It sounds like you're kind of sick. But 네, 네. Naturally, you'll hear it most often, 네. Ah, 네. Ah, 네, 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 네. Yeah, exactly. And then 뭐 is another example. It'll oftentimes sound like 뭐, 뭐. That sounds like a B, right? That's because the M and the B sound both come from the same place. So a lot of times they get very similar. They sound the same. 뭐? 아, 네, 맞아요. 네, 맞아요. 네? 뭐라고? You see? Versus 네? 뭐라고? So if someone is romanizing it and they're trying to spell the word that they hear, they might spell it 뭐, they might spell B-W-O, when it should be M-W-O. Or if we're being 100% specific here, it should be M-W-E-O. But they're not going to do that. They would probably do B-W-O. Or for 네, they might spell it D-E or D-A-E, day, because it sounds like the, because of the pronunciation habits. That's only a couple of examples, but there are a million of examples that I could bring up. And trust me, romanization is just not reliable. You're going to lose so much more time trying to figure out what, like how to communicate with someone in romanization than if you were just to learn Korean. I hit the desk again, I apologize. Then if you were just to learn Korean, I mean, Hangul, and just completely eliminate that. And now all you have to do is learn the spelling for your words. And it doesn't matter because whether you pronounce it right or wrong, whether you pronounce it right or wrong, if you can spell it, you're safe. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's quick math, guys. Come on. And basically another thing that I wrote down in my notes, I keep hitting this desk. I don't know if you can hear it, but oh my God, if you can hear it, I apologize so much. Another thing that I did write in my notes is that learning Korean is pretty much impossible without it. And it really is. Going back to the whole, you know, if you can't take out 90 minutes of your life to study the alphabet of the language that you want to be fluent in, I do not understand how the heck you expect to have enough patience to actually go and learn language. If you can't learn the alphabet, what the actual heck makes you think that you can learn the language? Because trust me, learning the language as a whole is 10 times harder, 10 times more confusing, and 10 times more complicated than learning the alphabet. The alphabet is literally, I googled this multiple times, and I've gotten the same answer every single time, but I didn't do like dig research, so someone correct me if I'm wrong, but Korean is the simplest alphabet system in the world. Like, if you can't put in 90 minutes of your life to learn an alphabet that takes, that is the simplest alphabet in the world, then do you really expect to learn Korean? Because I'm going to say this right now, it's not going to happen. If you don't have the patience for that, then you will not have the patience for the never-ending journey of learning Korean. Not to make it sound like, ooh, scary, but really, let's just be honest here. If you can't learn the alphabet, if you won't learn the alphabet, then what makes you think that you will learn the language? Quick math. Quick math, y'all. Now that that rant is over, as promised, I am going to give you some quick tips to learn Hangul quickly and effectively. I hope that I have convinced you to learn Hangul by now, but if I have not, and I'm saying that weird, Hangul, if I have not, then I don't know what else to say, man. Like, please learn Hangul. I'm actually like low-key begging you right now, please learn Hangul. Like, trust me, it will save you so much time. Just do it, okay? Now, anyways, without further ado, here are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I like wrote it down and then I did not write numbers. Six ways to learn and master the Korean alphabet, aka Hangul. So the first one that I wrote down here, these are not actually in a particular order. In the show notes, I will probably put them in a particular order I think I put them in order. Let's just be 100% honest here. Yeah, I put them in order. Okay, anyways. Your girl is unorganized, okay? Anyways, so the first tip for learning Hangul is, of course, block out some time. Now, I mentioned that it can take about 90 minutes to learn. That's an hour and a half. But if I were you, I'd block out like 2 hours, because distractions exist and humans do not listen when you tell them to leave you alone so that you can study. So if I were you, I'd block out 2 hours. And if you have a crazy family like me, 2.5 hours to learn Hangul, unless it's like a time where nobody's awake and you know you can get it done, like from start to finish, right, all in that time that you block out, that's cool. If it is not that type of time during the day, then please block out that time, extra time. And then the second tip that I have is to find a super simple course. Now, the reason why I call this podcast Super Simple Korean is because Korean should not be complicated. In fact, in my opinion, language should not be looked at all the time as this complicated beast that you have to slay. Like, it is not like that. Learning language, as well as really anything, should be simplified to a certain extent so that pretty much everyone and anyone can... Everyone and anyone? Isn't that like the same thing? Anyways, everyone should be able to learn it, whether they're young or old. So that is why I advise you to find a super simple Hangul course to study Hangul from. Now, you could really just Google it. Like, that's all you have to do. But I will leave links to some of my favorite resources in the description. Not the description. Why do I keep acting like I'm a YouTuber? I've literally never really, like... Anyways, I will leave the links to these, to my favorite resources, a few of them, in the show notes, which, as I mentioned before, you can find those at lingolobby.com/supersimplekorean. Again, lingolobby.com/supersimplekorean, because that is a mouthful. Anyways, the next tip that I give you is to study that course from start to finish, preferably in one go. Like, I would seriously advise you to study it from start to finish on the first go, because this is the beginning part. And I've noticed that usually when you start and you finish, like, you actually finish it, you're more likely to actually, like, really learn the alphabet. When I studied Korean, I studied start from start to finish. And every time I reviewed, I would review from start to finish, right? But I keep hitting this desk. Oh my God. But when I tried to learn Japanese, which, by the way, low-key a failure, when I tried to learn Japanese, I was intimidated by the fact that there were two alphabets. So I took my time. And guess what? I can still barely read hiragana. So my tip for you is to learn it from start to finish from day one, from hour one and a half. Read it. No. Do it, the course, from start to finish. Even if you don't remember everything, just do it start to finish. Trust me, you're more likely to actually learn the alphabet and actually retain it if you do it from start to finish on hour one, day one, whatever you call it. And then the second tip that I give you is to review for a week. Remember, sometimes I get way too excited and I just completely fumble over my words, but remember when I said that when I studied Korean, I took a whole week to study Korean. I mean, the Hangul. I took a whole week to study Hangul. The reason why I took the week was, one, because I didn't actually plan to learn the language. I kind of just wanted to sing along with Boy in Love. But, Boy in Love? Yeah, Boy in Love. Oh my God. Yeah. But, after I started learning the alphabet, I realized, you know, I kind of want to speak this language. It's fun. It's cool. I like it. So it took me a week to study it because I just took my time, really. Like, that was the one thing in my life at the time that did not have a deadline. It didn't matter if I did it or not. It was 100% completely for myself. So I took my time to study that. But because I took my time, reading is literally my strongest... strongest skill. There we go. Reading is my strongest skill in Korean because I spent so much time really trying to read and just get the letters down, you know, because I felt like, okay, if I can read this language, I can learn it, because that means I can go anywhere and I can figure out how to use a grammar rule, and I can see how grammar is used in the language. I can see how the words are used in a certain context, and I can just see how everything works and understand it on a better level if I can read it. So I put a lot of effort into reading for the first week, and the way that I would review was I would actually pull up random, like, examples, and I would also pull up lyrics and things like that. I think at the time, primarily, it was lyrics, and yeah, during the first week, it was mostly just lyrics, and I would pull them up, and while I was, like, just doing whatever I was doing, like, if I was, like, doing school, or I was, like, I don't know what I was doing, but I would have a PDF on my phone that I downloaded, which is actually the second step that I am have on this list is that you should have a PDF that you can always reference. During this review week, it is crucial that you keep exposing yourself to the letters. And I am not a huge fan of flashcards, so that is why I did not do that. Instead, I would find lyrics and stuff like that, and I would just slowly try to read them, and I would go back and reference the guide whenever I needed that extra help. And eventually, pretty sure quicker than a week, eventually I was able to read very slowly, but still very accurately, without the guide. And oh my god, that is the best feeling ever. I keep hitting this desk, oh my goodness. That is the best feeling. It was the best feeling ever, and I still love that feeling. Whenever I learn a new language and I can read in it, I'm just like, oh my god, I've succeeded. Yes. That's why it's important to learn Hangul, because it's the simplest step to get into learning Korean. And once you get that, you're like, oh my god, yeah, I got this, you know? Like, you need that momentum. You really do need that momentum. And of course, the last tip kind of falls into the review for a week thing, but I gotta say it anyways. Keep practicing. Practice makes progress, and progress gets you closer to perfect. Please keep practicing. Trust me, it's a lot more fun than you may think. Like, literally the boring part is just sitting there learning the letters. That is, if you're not like me. I don't know, I found the letters so fascinating because they're like so aesthetic and so like symmetrical, and I'm not a math person, but I love it when things, oh my god, but I love it when things are like symmetrical. It's pleasing to me, and it makes me less anxious. So Korean Hangul, I can't pronounce anything anymore, but anyways, Hangul is a really, really simple alphabet to learn, and it is so important that you learn it. If you do not learn Hangul, the chances of you actually learning Korean are very, very low, because if you can't put 90 minutes of your life away to study the alphabet that is considered the simplest alphabet to learn in the world. Of course, like I said, I googled it a few times, did not dig deep, so if I'm wrong, please call me out. But if you can't do that, then you cannot study Korean in the long run. And that's just the truth. Bam. So yeah, that was my low-key, high-key rant about why Hangul is so important to learn. I figured it was probably like the best way to start this podcast, because like, I mean, I believe that when you start learning Korean, the first thing you should do is learn Hangul. So might as well talk about it first, right? I hope that I have convinced you of the importance of learning Hangul. If I have not, then please go back and re-listen to this, like, until you're convinced, or find someone else to listen to until you're convinced, because I'm telling you, it is important. This is important. Do not skip this step. Like, it is not practical to skip it. It doesn't make sense to skip it. If you're trying to learn the language, just learn the alphabet. And trust me, once you succeed learning the alphabet, you're gonna feel like you can take on the world, and you're going to take on the world. You are going to feel so freaking happy and proud of yourself that you're going to go and keep studying Korean. I have a friend who, she like kind of studies Korean on and off, but she never forgets how to read Korean. I can send her literally anything and she'll be like, Maji, I don't understand you, but okay, like, I don't understand what you're saying, but I can read it. Like, it's one of those things that once you learn it, you really can't unlearn it unless you put like really serious effort to unlearn it. Like, it's so simple. Once you've got it, you really cannot unget it. Even my sister, who has recently started studying Korean, I taught her Hangul, like very, like barely, very badly taught her. And she still remembers how to read. Amazing, right? Like, it's one of those things that is so simple. Once you get it, you've got it, and you can go forward. Like, you can consistently go forward because you're confident that, hey, I can do this because I studied a whole new alphabet and I can read this language. I may not understand what the heck they're saying, but I can read it. And that is freaking awesome. Anyways, have a good, good day or night wherever you are. And until next time, oh wait, no, not yet, no. I wanted to tell you that I have an Instagram that you can follow. Actually, it's just called Super Simple Korean, because the Super Simple Korean podcast would have been way too long. So it's just Super Simple Korean. You can follow, I keep hitting this desk. You can follow the podcast there, where I will have updates and updates and updates and random whatever I can really think of. Honestly, I just am going to post things about Korean there. So if you want to keep in touch, please follow me there. And that is it. Until next time, 안녕히 계세요. Bye-bye.